Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Can we all come together in the middle here? Can every one of you who sit outside, I'm graciously asking, you're probably wondering, well, what the heck? Why are you doing that, Ryan? And I'm going to give you the most spiritual answer I know. I don't have a clue why God wants us to do this right now, but I just feel like he wants us to come in this middle aisle together. You don't have to sit on top of everyone. I mean, you can have some personal space here, but if we could all kind of comfortably fit in here. One of the goals, Paul, hang right there. That's totally fine. Yeah, that's totally fine. Luann, you may stay. In fact, I'd love to join you, but I have a word to preach. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your graciousness. If we could all just do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that there is a spirit of unity, as Ephesians 4 so boldly declares. I thank you, God, that everywhere we, not just Ryan, not just our pastors, not just anointed people, Father, that we're all anointed, and everywhere we put our foot, we take back ground that was bought and purchased by Jesus at the cross 2,000 years ago. And your kingdom come, your will be done in Green Bay and in this region on earth as it is in heaven. It's not a nifty slogan. It is the fruit of Jesus' labor. And everyone said, amen. I want to expound briefly, and I haven't done a series in a while, but the name of this message is Increase Part 2. And last week, if you were here, John 15, I read out the first 8 verses of that. I want to repeat the last two, verses 7 and 8. And we were talking about this idea of increase. God wants to increase us spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, financially, all of the above. Let's not diminish one or the other. The balance of them all is all a part of our inheritance. And part of the key to that, Jesus unpacks in John 15, says it real simple. You abide, I bring fruit. You stay connected. You don't have to wail and moan and travail. You're connected to me. I'm the vine. I'm the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. He does the pruning. He does the cleaning. He does the snipping. And when that happens, it's because you're bearing much fruit. You know, any of us can say, well, gosh, you know, I don't like to be pruned. Well, here's the deal. It's a great thing because it shows that you're bearing grapes. Shows that you're bearing fruit. There's good things happening. You know, if there was no growth, there's no mess to clean up. Part of growth requires pruning. He prunes us, as I said last week, by his word. His word. It's not just what God said, although that's important, which I'll get to in a moment. What he said here matters. But it's not just what he said, it's also what he's saying. And when we stay connected, and this idea that we're disconnected is a total farce. It's a total illusion to Christians. People have been duped for years. Oh, I just feel disconnected. I don't give a rip how you feel. You're connected. I care about you knowing how connected you really are. Tell your emotions in that moment to take a hike. Your emotions are not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus, and Jesus is Lord of your emotions. His word trumps your emotions. Emotional health realizes that. Here's the flip side of that. Your emotions matter too. So here's the tension. I'm just feeling emotional. And that's a warning sign that something is needing to be pruned. Something needs to be shaped. Something needs to be cultivated and nurtured. So John 15 verse 7 says it like this. Hello. John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so be my disciples. So he puts us in his word. He puts us in a position where we can do nothing, because Jesus says it real clear, apart from connection to me and the Father, you can't do nothing. Now, conceptually, we know that, but here's the truth. You need to hear this very, very clear. The word says this very, very clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And in the same breath, Jesus says to all of us, he requires everything. Apart from me, you can do nothing, and he requires the impossible in our normal Christian life. This is an incredibly important concept, because if we're going to transform the world, we can't just do what everyone else does. We have to abide in the vine, and it starts right here with what he says. So he puts us in a position where we can do nothing, and he requires everything. I want to just paraphrase it. I don't have time in this service. I might unpack it more in the second service. But there's two portions of scripture, Psalm 1 and Joshua 1, and they mirror one another. And this part about abiding in the vine, this part about his words abiding in us, there's a correlation between John 15, 7 through 8, Joshua 1, and Psalm 1. You can write that down and go back later. Here's what I want to go after. Abundant fruit is required. Abundant fruit in God's economy, based on John 15, is answered prayers. So let me ask you a very, very thought-provoking question. How many of your prayers are getting answered and bearing fruit? Because Jesus is tying discipleship to answered prayer and bearing much fruit. And that means that he is the fruit inspector. And he says to our church body, both corporately and to us privately, Ryan, I like what I see over here. That's fivefold fruit. I'm looking for 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. And that's good, but that good is the enemy of great. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my word, prune you, and put you over here, and I'm going to launch you over there. Your emotions are going to give the warning sign, because emotional health is important. Emotional and mental health is important. Your emotions are saying, danger, Will Robinson, danger. This is a place I want to snip, because I see 30, 60, 100-fold. And if you let this dominate the vine, this is going to choke out what God wants to do. Because I got something great for you, Joshua, in Joshua 1. I got a promised land for you to take, but your emotions right now will run ragged if I don't get you under my control. Have I lost you yet? Joshua 1, everywhere we put our foot, we take back ground. I think that's a great idea. But how does God say we do that? Let me read that fast. I'm going to read Joshua 1, verse 5. Remember the scene. The baton has been passed. Moses is dead. Joshua, you're the guy. We're going to go from here to there. And this portion of scripture is the part that I want to tie all together very, very quickly about abiding in his word, abiding in you. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong. And notice this time he emphasizes, be very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do. Do not turn it from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Notice biblical prosperity is tied to answered prayer and discipleship. This is all throughout scripture. Discipleship, bearing fruit, taking ground, promised land type stuff, abiding in the vine, hearing his voice, which shapes us and prunes us. He says, here's the thing he says. He goes, I'm going to give you success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, God is obligated to fulfill all of his promises, but he's not obligated for you and I to fulfill our potential. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. He's the yes part. Jesus said yes at the cross and the resurrection. We're the amen. So be it on earth as it is in heaven. In this portion of scripture, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be strong and courageous. I want you to be fearless. I want you to look at the problem solid. I want you to look at the giant solid. I want you to take every situation. I want you to give a good solid look at it. I need you to be strong. I need you to be courageous. And, oh, by the way, don't be dismayed. You know, he says all this, but you notice what he doesn't say? How? How do I not be fearful? How? I'm glad you asked. He gives us a tip. One little portion of scripture that we see not just in the Old Testament, we see with Mary in the New Covenant, we see it all throughout scripture, we see Jesus doing it, and it's this word meditate. Biblical meditation is not Eastern mysticism. It is not chanting in ohms and emptying your mind and mindless droning on and on. Nor is this idea that chanting verse after verse with no interactivity with the Father, that's incomplete meditation. That is formula. What God is saying to us is, sons, daughters, connect to me, abide in me. And when you see a portion of scripture like Joshua that says, Kibby, be strong and courageous. No, be very courageous. Look at those problems solid and take it. That becomes cellular. All of a sudden, I can't wait to see a problem. I'm going to eat them for breakfast. I'm going to take it on by the power of the Holy Spirit. I own this place. Everywhere I put my foot, it's mine. This is my place. This is my territory. Can't wait to take on another problem. That. It becomes cellular. It's not chanting going, okay, I'm worthy. I'm special. You are special. Somebody criticized me. I've heard this before. You just tell people they're awesome all the time. Well, get over it. Jesus said they were, so I'm just repeating what the Master says. So if you're mad at me, take it up with the Word, take it up with the living Word, or get out of there. Don't stay. Don't let me tell you how awesome you are anymore. I didn't say you don't sin. We all screw up, but for Pete's sake, you get what you preach for. You get what you prophesy for. I call things as though they are, even though they're not. You may have a terrible attitude. I'm calling great attitude by the power of the Holy Spirit. I eat problems for breakfast, and so do you. That felt good. I'm a lion. And I've got 10 minutes to growl this sermon down. 10 minutes. So meditate on the scriptures. It means when I'm down, I got opportunities. I can go to psychology. There's nothing wrong with psychology unless it doesn't jive with this. But let me tell you something. Biblical meditation, I'll read over this. Let's say I'm feeling very depressed. What I need to do is go to Ephesians or a book like that or Colossians and say, I'm seated in heavenly realm. So literally what I'm meditating on in that moment, I'm chewing on this. And that's what biblical meditation is. I'm chewing on it. Mary said, I'm going to ponder this word in my heart when she was given the word that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to be in her womb. She's chewing on it. She's going over it. She's uttering it. She's bringing it. She's making it cellular and owning it. When you're feeling, when your emotions, I'm talking about emotional health for increase. Talking about emotional health. For you want emotional wellness, get in the Word. Get in here and go, okay, he says that I am the righteousness of Christ. I'm a new creation. He makes all things new. My bad habits yesterday don't define my tomorrow. You begin to declare these things. You know, the biblical meditation includes declarations. How many of you ever come here and worship, not felt like worshiping, and then you busted through by worshiping, and then you felt like worshiping after you started worshiping, but you didn't feel like worshiping until you started worshiping? This idea, well, I have to feel like worship. Are you kidding me? There have been days where I have been in my office and I've made 1,532 decisions, both macro and micro, that could threaten to torch my day. And I have options. You are worthy of it all. Oh God, I don't know what I'm doing. Help. My emotions say, warning, danger, Will Robinson, danger. It doesn't mean I have to give in to fear. in those moments when the warning light goes off in your emotions, consider that an incredible opportunity for God to readjust and recalibrate you. Why? Because he wants you to partner with his word, what he says about you, so that you will bear much fruit. And when you grow, he's going to prune you some more. Yay. Psalm 1, another correlation of Joshua. I'll read it. I'm just going to read it. Psalm 1. Let me find it here. Here we go. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Notice abiding right there. Old Testament, New Testament, there's this concept that God is super interested in, and that is abiding, drawing from the river, and prospering. Abundance. In other words, increase. God isn't saying that increase is a nifty idea for a few chosen super saints. He's saying, go and make disciples. And he's correlating great fruit with great discipleship. So let me declare over this house who you are. You are great disciples. And just in case you didn't hear that declaration, you are great disciples. And then I have a question for you. Who are you bringing your great discipleship to? What are we replicating? What are we replicating? I want to propose to you this week, part of our calibration as a house and maybe even as a nation is that we need to learn how to biblically meditate. We need to learn how to take the scripture and make it cellular. We need to know how, when we get a word of the Lord, like I've said with you before, I've had several words over this house in the last 2 to 3 months that when I'm in the fight, the contradiction comes. It's stuff like, hey, Kibby, this house is going to increase. You know what happens right after you get the word of the Lord that says increase? Challenge. And here comes the contradiction and the emotional bombs and the thought processes. Oh, no, we're not going to increase. We're not going to make disciples. And are you tracking with what I'm saying? Have you ever had a promise that has been immediately challenged? The scripture says in Matthew that that word will be challenged. In essence, the persecution, there will be persecution because of the word over your life. This means that each of us are not exempt. When we get the big word, it will be challenged. Your emotions are a warning sign or a light bulb that says you're on track. It is biblically wrong to discard your emotions. It is equally biblically wrong to be led by them. The Holy Spirit leads you. Why do I know that? Because the fruit of discipleship is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. This idea that God will do everything so we can do nothing is simply lazy theology. Our abiding in connection to Him helps us become disciples to make other disciples. It's simply lazy theology to say that Jesus paid it all and it is finished. But let me say this, we're not finished. What I'm suggesting to everyone here and online, to any church that would hear it, to any of ours, to any of our people at home, our mandate is to not sit soak and sponge and get really well fed and do nothing. But likewise, our mandate isn't to burn out and a few people do a bazillion things in the name of Jesus and call that discipleship too. That's not Jesus either. Oneness, togetherness, discipleship, greenhouse, healthy things, healthy big people, growing together, one, together. Every person, every joint supplies, together, better. Not about spiritual superstardom, but about sons and daughters who want to advance the kingdom vision. That's what Jesus is interested in. He's wanting to bring his world to this world. I'm about to close. Now, Psalm 1 says it Ye will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. The bounty of the soul is connected. The bounty of our inner world is connected to our outer world. What we put in here will reflect out there. I used to have a house when I was first meeting Hope. My inner world was not where my inner world is today. And so my outer world was chaos because my inner world was chaos. But once God dealt with my inner world, I began to manifest more order. God deals with the inner world, and that prosperity of the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions brings emotional and mental health, which brings strength to your soul. It's the anchor. And biblical meditation, feeding on what God says about you, feeding on what God says about your church, feeding on what God says about the kingdom, filling yourself with promises instead of 24 hours straight of Netflix, doing things that do not do what culture does. In order to change the culture, we have to become more like him, and he's counterculture. His world counters the culture, and part of the counterculture is learning how to abide, to make time and space to actually let him and let what he's saying become cellular. It's not just what he said, it's also what he's saying. In Psalm 1, it says, and he's tying again prosperity of the soul to biblical meditation. It means you're considering what you're saying over your life. If you're angry and you begin to belittle yourself, what you say about yourself brings death to your grieving head here. When you begin to speak death over that, you replicate that. When you begin to speak what he's saying about you, you begin to replicate that. But if you don't know what he said about you, how can you know what he's saying about you? Get in the word and begin to manifest that word, and you will bear more fruit. And then when you bear more fruit, he will snip. Here's where the problem lies. Too many people come on Sunday mornings only to hear, gosh, Pastor Ryan, I wanted a 45 minute message today. You only did 20 minutes because we worshiped this and that. You know what? You have 24/7 to get in the word all week to come here filled up, pregnant, and exploding in worship with gratitude and thanksgiving, and bring what you carry because you're super powerful. You have a Bible. You can use it and get filled and pregnant with the promises of God. Bring it on Sundays. Why do I say this? Because in seasons of drought, a tree firmly planted, as Psalms 1 indicates, abiding, a tree by a river in a season of drought has no clue whatsoever that a drought is going on, because their roots are planted deeply by the river, drawing from the river, not worried about the drought that everyone else is talking about. Would you stand? Few questions to end it. I had more that I could say, but we'll save it for another day. I felt like it was important that we took a prophetic act into oneness, worshiping as one. Even when our emotions don't always feel like it, I'll be real. I didn't come today go, oh man, I'm just feeling really, you know what? I'm a little tired. It's summer. I want to be playing sometimes, but I'm on mission. I'm not doing this just so we can have a great Sunday experience. I want to change the world. And Jesus said, you do it. He said, this is the part I need everybody. There's grace with responsibility. He's saying, wait a minute, church. You. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't God prosper us? Yes. He's the one who brings the fruitfulness. But you have to decide if your inner world is going to be prosperous. He's not going to decide that for you. You and I are. He's not going to decide if we are going to come together and do what we say we are going to do to take back ground, pull it back from a defeated devil, and take our inheritance. We have to decide that. Not one person, not a pastor. We. Would you close your eyes? I have a question. What put you back? Where are you dry? You say, well, I really struggle getting in the word. I can tell you this, I've had times of refreshing where I've gotten the word and read it over and over and over again, and my emotional health comes into alignment with what he says, because I simply, by faith, not emotion, by faith said, I'm going to get to the word of the Lord even though I don't feel like it. I'm going to turn off all the distractions, and I'm going to go after God even when I don't feel like it. And it's amazing, when I do that, heaven comes, my emotions get into alignment with the King, and all of a sudden, atmosphere shifts. Some of you are running to escapism. Some of you are running to other things. And I'm saying here, God's word is better. His voice is better. Make his voice a priority. This week, get in his word. Go to the place in the watering holes in the wells that will bring life to you. Come to the Accelerate Conference. Maybe you had some things that were going on. Come, get in his presence. You can do it at home. You can do it here. Anything that points you to his voice and his word, start drawing from those wells. Listen to podcasts. Anything you can do to tap in. Because when others around you are in a drought, if you don't water, if you don't abide, if you don't allow the roots to run deep, the culture to run deep, you will listen to everyone else declaring drought. And my mission is to declare that Jesus is Lord. He is King. Of the increase of his peace and his government, there will be no end. And I need people sold out to that message, which trumps all emotion and everything you see in society. His will be done on earth in Green Bay. There is no other mission. It is the great commission. Go make disciples, disciple nations, in Jesus' name. My question for you is this: where are you distracted? Where are you caught up? Where are you choking? Are you asking the right questions? Are you going to the master and saying, why are my emotions just all over the place? I can't tell you that. He'll talk to you about that. Where am I this? Where am I that? Go and make time and space, and God will bring his grace. Amen? People, we're going to close now. If we could have our altar ministers, I know I went a few minutes over. Altar ministers, come up here. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for healing, physical healing, emotional healing, one of the things we talk about is hairballs being coughed up. If something, even in our short time today, during worship or the message, just really cough something up in you, come and get prayer. They want to lead you to a place where you can experience God. You can encounter God. That'll lead you into an experience that may set you on a different trajectory and transform your life. When we have a momentum together as one, transform people, transforming one another, creating a greenhouse in here where healthy things grow, people want to be a part of that. And then we create ecosystems out there that mirror his world. This is a simple vision. It's not complicated, but we have decisions to make. Will we abide or will we strive? I, for one, will abide in the vine, and I'm inviting everyone here to do that. Let's get with Jesus. Yes? 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 Ephesians 4 says, the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. If you need a leader to make everyone do that, you're not leading. And the Holy Spirit's not leading. If it's a have to, we're not leading. We're just telling. The Holy Spirit unites us, brings the bond of peace. We're so pregnant with what he's doing, we could give a rip about what he's not doing. We only want to do what he's doing. We're not fighting over carpets or this or that or whatever. Not that we are, but do you get what I'm saying? That's where we're going. Unity, oneness, not uniformity, oneness. That's what we're going to get. So Father, I bless them. I pray that people come from the north, south, east, and west, that this Accelerant Conference will explode in people's hearts, that they will get it ignited and spread the fire, that they will burn with passion for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not out of striving, but out of sonship and daughtership. And they begin to get pregnant grace with responsibility. They're responsible for their own emotions. They're responsible for their own lives. And they're responsible. They're taking responsibility. They're not abdicating it to a government or other people and saying, somebody else do it. They are taking responsibility and saying, your kingdom come. And I am empowered and I'm authorized to change the world, because Jesus, you're allowed to change my inner world. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Hope to see you at Accelerant. It starts Wednesday, and keep praying for that. Amen. See you next week.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.